Hey, what's going on, everyone? Thanks for tuning in to the podcast, YouTube channel, whatever you're choosing to listen to us from. I got one of my buddies, Nick, here, who I met through one of our closest friends, Edwin Arister, who's an amazing human being. And yeah, Nick and I have more recently have we went to the Summit of Greatness in Columbus, Ohio, so I got to know him better. He's also my accountant. And he's currently a partner at it's Basha and Basha.
Yep.
Yep. And yeah, welcome, Nick. Glad to have you on here.
Yeah, glad to be here too.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I know when we first met at the Jack Canfield event a while back, you know, that was like the first time like getting to know you. But yeah, you know, would love to learn a little bit more about, and one of the things I learned from Tony Robbins when I was in Fiji for Wealth Mastery was about like tax efficiency. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I should have Nick on, like, that'd be great just to talk about it. Right. Cause it's one of those things that, at least for me, like I know nothing about, but Tony Robbins, it was one of the tenets, like the 10 tenets of financial mastery. So mm-hmm. I thought you'd be like the perfect person to talk about that.
Yeah, no, exactly. So yeah, they say taxes are going to be like your biggest expense, essentially. Like on average, mm-hmm. people are paying 30% in taxes. So, you know, if you're making 100,000, 30% is 30,000. So that's usually people's biggest expense. So mm-hmm. not that, you know, you can't avoid tax, but you could minimize your taxes. So that's why, you know, working with an accountant, not everyone's tax situation, they have the option to lower their taxes, but you know, a simple scenario would be, you know, the average person's working as a W-2 employee. They pay taxes on all their earned income, but one of the deferrals they could do is contribute money to their 401k. So if you contribute up to the, I think this year's the max is now $20,500. You could contribute that, and you basically, if you hypothetically are making $100,000, you subtract off the 20, so you're only paying tax on $80,000. And then that retirement grows tax deferred. So someday when you're older, you take that money out and that minimizes your taxes now. You kind of pay it later. So that's a tax strategy for, you know, mm-hmm. I'd say the average person, because that's a more common situation. And then, you know, there's so many complex situations. So, yeah, minimizing taxes is my, let's say, specialty. You know, it depends on the situation of the client, though.
Yeah. And I also noticed, I'm not sure if you've noticed a trend in more W-2 employees having like a side hustle since the mm-hmm. pandemic has happened. Do you think that's been more common in your experience?
Yeah. And I definitely think it is, because people have been working remote. So, you know, now people aren't going to the office. So it might free them up with time and not having to commute an hour each way. So now they have two mm-hmm. extra hours a day, or, you know, they're maybe not super passionate about their job anymore, and they're trying to branch off into something they're more passionate about, and now they're starting up their side hustle. And a lot of my clients, their goal is for their side hustle to overtake their W-2 job, and now they leave their old job, and now they could spend 40 plus hours on their new job, or a flex schedule is what a lot of people want. So, you know, there's a lot more tax advantages to owning your own business. If you have a side hustle, essentially you own your own business, whether you know, you're being a life coach and you're training people and you're getting paid that way. If you want to open up a barbershop, you're cutting hair, you're making money that way. It's really, you make your schedule, you're advertising, you're doing all these things, but all those expenses that you have to pay out are going to be business deductions. So like in the simplest term, because a lot of people get confused of what to write off this and that, in the sense, if you run your own business and you now want to make your side hustle your main career path, is you get paid, let's just say $100,000 for doing services, whatever, or selling products. Anything that you have to pay out of pocket are expenses. So on the $100,000, if you have $40,000 in expenses, advertising, products, setting up a website, things like that, now you only pay tax on the net, the $60,000. So that's what sometimes people get confused, because they don't realize what's a write-off. And, you know, often the misconception is people want to write off expenses when they don't have a business. So if you're an employee, like, let's say you work for me and you were a staff accountant here, you wouldn't have any business expenses because you're an employee So I, as the employer, should cover your expenses. Oh, you need a laptop, I'll pay for it because my business could write off the expense. But you, as the employee, really can't write off the expense. And that tax law changed back in 2018. So, taxes are confusing because constantly when there's a new president, there's new tax laws and tax changes. So it's constantly changing. Where like years ago, you could write off home office expenses even if you were an employee, but now you can't do that anymore. So, it's a common misconception. But yeah, and I think going the route of doing your passion is, works out for a lot of people. But I always kind of warn people that it is riskier in the sense that, you could be working in this business and not, sometimes people aren't really paying attention to the numbers. They're doing what they love and they don't realize, oh my God, I've been doing this business, all this money's coming in, but I'm actually spending more than what I'm making. And at the end of the year, they're negative 20,000. Like, oh my God, I didn't even realize. So that's something to keep in mind too when, when people are thinking about going down that route. You have to kind of be pretty good with numbers and things like that, or have someone to help you.
So it sounds like, yes, it's good to have a passion, right? But ultimately still business at the end of the day, right? So at the end of the day, you could be making a million, but if you're spending 1.1 million, right, you're still, losing money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting. So have you noticed that when should someone, I guess it's not as easy as like, oh, I'm making this much, I should quit my job. But like it's tip, I'm sure most people would prefer to have a side hustle that even if you make 20,000 less, like it probably still makes more sense to do that, right? The one because of the tax deductions and two because like you'll actually love what you do, right?
Exactly. And you're right though. That's like something I really couldn't give like my advice on because there's no blanket answer. So if I was talking to you, like when I'm talking to my client, I'm having one-on-one, I could get into what's really important to them and kind of, guide them because a lot of it's on the client. Maybe you would be happy to make 20,000 less and do something you absolutely love, where someone else might not. Someone else might want be like, I want to become partner in a corporate career where if they, work their butt off for 10 years, they're kind of on a fast track to knowing at some point they're going to make a large salary. And some people are willing to do that because it's a more guarantee, where a business isn't a guarantee. Like think about COVID. COVID, no, everyone, the hardest thing I've seen is, someone finally gets their money together, wants to buy a business. They put that deposit down, they sign that lease, and then 2 weeks later there's a lockdown. So there is no guarantee. So like what running a business is riskier in that sense. So, a lot of businesses didn't make it through COVID. So, but like now they say, everything is just a cycle. So like now things, maybe bottomed out, maybe not, but people are starting to start businesses now. And now hoping that everything's going to come back to normal, and it's a great time where you could start at a bad time, and then it's tougher to get, the ball rolling.
So it sounds like obviously there's risks associated with starting a business. Like, why do you think so many businesses fail like in the first 5 years? Is it because like they're just not good with numbers, or they don't have the right partners, or they're just not business minded? Have you noticed some trends with the ones that maybe haven't quite made it past year five or even the first couple of years?
Usually a lot, so our specialty is where we work on a lot of small businesses. So like a lot of our clients are, most of our clients are individual taxes because every person really has to file their tax return. And then a lot of our clients end up starting their own businesses. Small businesses, usually family owned, one or two partners, maybe 4 to 5 employees. So nothing huge, but that's really our bread and butter, say. And I feel like that type of business is the owner really has to be involved in the business. Like a lot of our businesses that have been around for 20 plus years, the owner's there every day working, or they have really good managers that they could rely on. But then that comes down to the point of, let's say you hire a great manager to run let's say your restaurant. They usually will require a bigger salary. So it's always like that you make those decisions as a business owner. Do you want to do everything yourself, because you're going to be usually as the owner, you're going to be the most efficient. You're going to get the most done in the least time. But if you hire someone, you're going to have to pay them a pretty good salary, and that kind of cuts from your bottom line. So it's like things like that. You know, there's no, as I said, there's no like general answer for everyone as a blanket. But I think, you know, the owner being involved makes the biggest difference of success. You know, because a lot of people want to start a business and have someone else run it, and then usually sometimes it doesn't work out as planned, or they're not making enough money, you know, things like that, or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, for example, like I was actually talking about this the other day, there was the fad of the frozen yogurt places. That just, like, you know, it was just an example I happened to be talking about the other day, and you know, it was blowing up and everyone wanted to do it
at one
and then
point,
people were coming late to the bandwagon, and they were investing all this money, and then it kind of it leveled out. Like, people thought it was just keep going up, and it kind of just stopped. And a lot of clients didn't really make it because they were kind of late to the game type of deal. So where other clients are the opposite, they get the right place at the right time, and they're like, oh my God, I got into this industry at the perfect time, and now it's booming, you know? So doing your research and things like that. But I think the passion is important. It's hard to do a job every day and do it really well if you're not interested in it, or you don't like it, you know? Like, I don't think an accountant would do a great job if you didn't really like working with numbers all the time, you know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. I'm also hearing the importance of timing and everything, right? Especially in business. But it really, like, the macro conditions are probably more important than people think, right? In terms of, like, am I an early adopter? Is this a market that's, like, already proven? Like, am I starting a new market? Sometimes that can be challenging, obviously.
Yeah. And it's funny because obviously me and you both know Tony Robbins and his teachings, and you went to Business Mastery, right? So Business Mastery is like the perfect example, or if anyone could go there and kind of learn, I think, was it the 10 master steps. It's like, it's more of the psychology of the business owner, because if something's not working and you're a smart business owner, you're going to try something new. So some people who aren't willing to, like, to pivot when things aren't working, or try something new, or do advertising. Oh, Instagram's not working. Maybe I have to do things on YouTube, or, you know, Facebook. What's my clientele? It's like always trying to, like, even my business, our dad started it like almost 50 years ago. He's retired since. And then me and my brother have been, you know, growing it, and we've been trying new avenues. Some of our advertising tactics were great, and some weren't as great. So we just, you know, we're constantly trying to improve the business. I think that's the most important factor for a business to succeed, is the business owner willing to try new things and learn, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's a good point, right? Like, there's folks that are always agile, like adaptability, especially in today's age, right? Like, I think if it's anything the last 3 years have taught us, is that, like, things change pretty rapidly. So, like, yeah, like you said, right? Like, Instagram ads might be hot now, but, like, TikTok is probably pretty big. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we think Amazon is this huge behemoth, right? But we thought Blockbuster was big at one point too, or we thought, you know, so things just change pretty rapidly. So that's a good point. Like, just, you know, you can't ever rest on your laurels, it sounds like.
And, like, I think it's typical in like the accounting industry, is a lot of most accountants, I think the stats are like 75% of accountants today are already at age 65 or older. So they're, like, more closer to retirement. But that the generations, typically, this is not everyone, but most of the time, as you're older, you're less willing to change with new technologies and new things like that. So adapting, especially with COVID, we set up like a secure portal where we could upload all our tax documents, because we didn't want people coming to the office. At that point, you couldn't. So some people weren't able to pivot and change and use technology. So, like, I think, you know, I'm 33, and there's kids who are 21 out of college who are probably better at the technology than me. So how do I get, you know, maybe have pick their brains and learn from them? Because if I, like, there's constantly new technology. So I think things like that are important to make your business survive and thrive, you know?
So, you know, you've clearly have invested a lot in personal development and, you know, business mastery and all these different courses. Like, you know, how do you quantify the ROI on those things? Like, 'cause that's one of the questions I get asked a lot, 'cause they're like, oh, Davidson, why'd you spend $20,000 on Tony Robbins courses, you know? And sometimes I'm like, well, I got an ROI, but they're like, how would you quantify that? I'm like, honestly, sometimes it's hard to really say, because it's like very holistic, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I don't actually know how you'd be able to quantify the ROI, because you would have to figure what would be your business growth without it, which it would be hard to do. Yeah. And then you have to calculate your actual business growth. So it'd be, but even if you just did it, what your business growth that was versus the year prior might be a good way to analyze it. But I also think like the Tony Robbins and the self-development is more than just ROI, because that's just a return on your investment monetarily. But there's certain things that you operate your business differently. Maybe that's making you happier or maybe make you have more passion or maybe working less hours. How do you value those?
Right.
You know? So those are factors that I think are beyond the ROI that only could work per person. Like for me, like there's some of the things I learned was like, oh, I really enjoy adding more value to my clients. And so we hired more staff. So that frees up my time to spend more time in meetings or doing a podcast. When I was so busy, I would be like, oh, I can't get on the podcast. I'm too busy getting the work done. So now I have more time to do things that I'm adding value to clients, giving more back, and you know, sharing my knowledge. So those are things that I can't put a price on, but those are things that I learned that I think are the bigger and more important things. Where I might, if I didn't go to a self-development event, maybe I would just think like, oh, money, and not think about the other parts of life that are also important.
I love that, right? I think, you know, most people think of an accountant and they probably don't think, oh, like Nick's going to help me be able to prioritize my values and spend more time with the family and stuff like that. So it's cool that you're taking a holistic approach. And also that I love how you quantify a lot of things in life, right? Like you're like, oh, you know, how do I measure my happiness at any given point? Or how do I measure how much free time I have for hobbies? Like, do I have time for travel? Like, that's cool. It sounds like you're very like cognizant of like where you want to be. And then because you can measure it, you can ultimately like make a change, or you can continue to invest in that, you know, whatever thing that makes you happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because like for me, like my passion, I love traveling. So like I want to travel, go everywhere. And like before in 2019 is when I did all Tony Robbins, like the whole mastery. I was going to Fiji here, there and everything. And it was great. And then COVID happened and tax season got extended to July 15th all these new laws. So like I was working nonstop. I took no vacation days like that year of COVID. I didn't take a vacation day till August. So basically I was working like weekends. It was nuts. But it's like sometimes you have to go through the tough stuff and like I overcame it. And like this year I took like I think 32 days off for vacation. And my goal for this upcoming year is to take 40 days off.
Oh, nice.
So like that's like my passion. Like I want to that's the advantage of having your own business is like I get there's definitely times I have to work really hard and I have to, you know, go and work on Saturday and work late, you know, probably like most people, you know, but then I have that flexibility. All right, I've hit this deadline and then the next week I could take a vacation. So like things like that, that drives me to want to, you know, constantly improve systems and procedures and, you know, train staff and different things like that.
I love that. And, you know, I'm sure not everyone knows like what Tony Robbins is or ultimate mastery, but if you could, you know, we could probably do a whole episode just on the takeaways from that. Right. But I guess big picture, 30,000 foot view, you know, like what would you say some of your takeaways are even a few years after you've completed all that?
I think the biggest takeaway, so basically like in a nutshell, I think the mastery you is basically like figuring out what learning about yourself. Like, what do I really love? What do I want my future to be? What would my dream life be? And like, all right, now this is the dream life I want to have. How am I going to get there? So not like you're going to get there tomorrow, but, you know, kind of gave me a goal of what I'm setting out for. And I think what the biggest takeaway was like, I did that years ago and, you know, every day working, striving towards that, making vision boards, doing, you know, other self-development stuff. It's like you realize in the beginning, the results are very little, but over the long term, the results are like, it's like exponential, I think.
Huh.
So like the first year you're going to go and you're going to get excited and motivated and you realize, oh my God, I'm working really hard. I'm not getting a lot of results. But then one year goes by, and then another year goes by, and you're like, oh my God, the results are happening faster than I thought in the once 3, 4 years go by. So then that I think that's the cool part for me personally. Like obviously, there's tons of people who could just like get motivated and make huge things happen year one and just crush it. But for me, I've been constantly working, and now like I'm seeing a lot of the let's say fruits from my labor over all those years.
It sounds like similar to like compound interest, right? It's like you don't think
Exactly.
like, the 10% adds up, right? But then once you see like, oh, it's like $1 million, but you wouldn't think that. But then yeah, it just continue. That's cool, man. And I know we went to the Summit of Greatness together. Like, what were some of the takeaways from attending that conference in Columbus, like the one that Lewis Howes hosted?
I think that my biggest takeaway for that one was just being like was networking with the right people. When I say networking, just like being around people who are like inspiring as well in their own way. Like everyone we hung out with and met there, all I was curious what people's goals are and dreams, and everyone I felt was completely different, but it was nice to be around people who were like, oh, this is what I really want. This gets me excited. And being around people who are, positive, happy, inspirational, it just helps. It's like having that good environment, and it kind of pushes you to go further. Where like on a typical day, let's say a lot of people could be around people who may be negative and don't believe that their goals are possible and are living paycheck to paycheck. So when you're around that, you don't think things are possible. When you're around people who are all inspired, you realize like, oh, you feel like anything's possible. That's what I
I
think.
love
So like
that.
I like being around people like you who always so nice to everybody, and just like just doing those good things, like the law of attraction, like you're positive, thinking positive, and it comes to you.
Yeah, that's a really good takeaway. Yeah, I love it because you're right. We were definitely vibing off of each other's like energies. So like you said, like because we were all laughing, smiling, having a good time, like it kept building on it. And then, it was just like good times. Like, yeah, that's good stuff, man. Cause, like me and you both go to a lot of these conferences and people are like, oh, like why do you keep going? Right. But like you said, like every year there's like other goals and other things that you want to experience, right? Like, oh, maybe I haven't been to Italy yet and I want to do that. And when you're surrounded with people who are also like traveling the world, doing cool things and like, they have like exciting visions, like it makes you think, oh, I've never been to like Naples. Like, let me add that to my list as well,
And then you hear someone's goals and might be like, oh my God, I want to do that too. Or maybe you realize someone's goals are totally different, but they're excited and it kind of gets you excited, So
Yeah, and it makes
that's
you
the thing.
appreciate like the variety of different people and that there's like not one way to like everyone has their end goal, everyone has their things that make that fulfill them.
And that's why I love like the secret and the law of attraction. But it's like they say like everyone could have everything they want because everyone doesn't want the same thing. It's not like everyone wants a Lamborghini or everyone wants to be a billionaire. Some people don't want those things. And like I think the worst thing is to chase a goal that maybe your parents instilled on you or your wife instills on you. Like you really have to think what is your goal. So I think that's why I'm constantly working on because some of my goals 5 years ago are different than my goals now. So I think it's a constant. You're always growing. So like if you I don't I could never see myself stop doing things like that. I even like now like I'm do I signed up for a lot of like CPA conferences they have all over the country. So it's kind of like in my head like self-development in the accounting industry and meeting other people who are older than me and more seasoned and they've been through some of my pain points and they could give me advice and just being around that environment of people. So if someone's willing to pay and spend time, money, energy to go to these events, like those are people who I enjoy being around,
Yeah,
so
they're not settling for average mediocre, right? They're pushing, the challenging, maybe the status quo, or maybe they have a more efficient way of doing things, right? Or maybe they've gone through like they make you think about your values, like, oh, I thought I wanted this, but after speaking to them, like it sounds like having a lot of time to travel actually is more important than I thought, you know, things like that. That's cool, man. Well, yeah, thanks, Nick. You know, I always love being in your energy, and I'm so happy that, you know, your business is growing. Obviously, you're doing really cool things, and you know, you're a humble dude. And yeah, man, can't wait to till we hang out sometime next time we hang out.
We have any more conferences to go to, let me know. I'm always in.
Touche. All right, brother. Take care.
All right. Good talking to you. Have a good one.
You too. All right.
Bye.